Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Recently, a minister shared the following. I live in a culture in which a fitness chain advertises exercise clubs with the slogan, "You can rest when you're dead." It would seem, though, that most people live by that mantra most of their lives. And I just happened to be reading through this morning a little bit of my latest edition of the Sun magazine. And on the back, Cy Safransky has quotes from different people, generally on a theme. And the very first one, it just went so with what I'm saying today, I had to share it with you. It's told by Mel Brooks. If you're alive, you gotta flap your arms and legs. You gotta jump around a lot. You gotta make a lot of noise. Because life is the very opposite of death. And therefore, as I see it, if you're quiet, you're not living. Now, I've talked a lot before about how we live in a culture that says you are what you do. Our busyness defines who and what we are. We can rest later after we're done with the business of defining ourselves, when what's left can be written on a tombstone. In our passage today from Luke, it would seem that Jesus agrees with Mel Brooks and the fitness club. He could not wait till the next day to heal the woman. Why wait? There's work to be done. Come on, chop, chop. The leader of the synagogue seems to be the one reminding us that there are times that we need to just be. The synagogue leader seems to be the one saying, today's the Sabbath and we need to wait on the Lord. But you see, I think this is where we get the idea of Sabbath wrong. To say that Sabbath is a time where we just sit and do nothing except read the Bible and pray to God is not the whole truth. Sabbath can have those elements to it. And at times should have those elements to it. But I think especially the Old Testament or the Jewish understanding of Sabbath is much more than that. Now, in Christianity, the Sabbath is generally a weekly religious day of rest as ordained by one of the commandments. The third one, if you're a Roman Catholic and Lutheran, in their numbering of them. The fourth, if you're Protestant or Eastern Orthodox. Yes, there's a different numbering for a bunch of the Ten Commandments. And that's generally how we think about it. It's a day of rest ordained by the Ten Commandments. In the Jewish understanding of Sabbath, though, Shabbat is considered a festive day. When a person is freed from the regular labors of everyday life. And I underline and stress regular. So that we can contemplate the spiritual aspects of life and spend time with family. It has this whole aspect of renewal as a part of it. Of course, ancient Judaism had to then go messing with it and came up with all these laws about what you could and what you couldn't do on the Sabbath. And many, or some of today's Orthodox Jewish groups still follow those rules. Arthur Boer observed, to contemplate the spiritual aspects of life, that's the goal of Christian spirituality, is to live at all times in the presence of God, keeping God's company and paying attention to God. By doing so, we are conscious of our interaction and our involvement with God at all times, all levels, and in all places. What he's saying is that the Sabbath involves a sense of holy awareness. An awareness that we generally don't have once we get into the routines of daily living. Now, Jesus was a little different than us. We say he was the Son of God, but it was his sense of holy awareness that made him aware that here was this lady bent over for 18 years. And he recognized and saw the pain and the work of her condition just to get around. And this demanded to him, this holy awareness demanded to him that she needed to be healed at that moment. And he healed her. But I think what's very interesting is this idea of holy awareness finds a surprising twist when we look at the beginning of our Jeremiah passage. There we read, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you." Melinda Elizabeth Berry of Sojourners Magazine writes in a commentary on that passage, "The assurance that God knows us intimately is part of the biblical testimony. I wish it weren't so easy to take that fact for granted." What she's saying is, God has a holy awareness of us. And today we are reminded of that. If we have a holy awareness of God, then the relationship is complete. God's aware of us and we're aware of God. And how do we know when that is true, when that relationship is complete? Well, the woman shows us. When we and others are led to praise God. The story in Luke says that she praised God. She didn't praise Jesus. She praised God for the healing. When we praise God, then we have been renewed. And because that's the only frame of mind we can be in when we are in a true relationship with God. And Sabbath, whatever time or place that may be for us, leads us into a wonderful relationship with God that creates praise to God. It reminds us, hey, God cares about me. From the days before I was born. Which brings us to today. I give thanks today. I praise God today for Ed and Jenny and Israel joining our family of faith. Because we are renewed by their presence. One of the sentences that you will be hearing in a few minutes that I love from the service of joining the church, which is read by the elder. "Holy God, we thank you for choosing to add to our number of brothers and sisters in faith." So often we've heard the phrase, "A birth is God's sign or God's wish that life continue." The reception of new members could also be considered a sign of God's wish that a church's ministry continue. It's a sign of holy awareness on the part of God. God knew this church even before 1873 when Hugh Grant began the work of starting this church. And God continues to know us, to renew us with new members. May we also be aware of God. And keep a Sabbath time, a Sabbath place in our lives, that we may create shouts of praise to God from our lips and from the lips of others. Amen.